Hello.
Hi there, can I speak with Andrew?
Speaking.
Hi, it's Elliot calling from MMA Legal. I'm calling regards to the inquiry that you made for the Scottish redress claim, you know, for the time during care.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, perfect. So all you need to do today, to be fair, Andrew, is just confirm a few details with you, take a very brief statement, and we can look at obviously getting this claim underway for you. So just to confirm, I've got your name as a Mr. Andrew Mill.
Yeah.
Yeah, best email address I've got is andymill26@gmail.com.
Correct.
Perfect. Can you just confirm your date of birth?
26/12/69.
1969, thank you. And just your door number and postal code as well?
31.
Yeah.
No, funnily enough, I think yesterday I only applied to sort of one sort of, I don't know, person type thing. And they took a few questionnaires yesterday. So I'm not too sure. Are you guys be the same group or what?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. Did somebody contact you yesterday, sorry?
Yeah, somebody contacted me yesterday. They wanted a sort of a bit of a statement. And then their admin group kind of phoned me half an hour later. I think it's something about a signature and, you know, a proof of ID type thing.
Did you sign things with them?
No. No, because they were meant to send to, they were initially going to send someone up to the house, and I thought, well, no, that's, you know, the whole idea is I don't want anything to be involved with it, really. You know, leave it to, you know, someone else. And they said, well, we could do it electronically type thing. We'll send you the details via email. But I didn't receive them, so, you know, I haven't signed for anything.
Right. So I'm not 100% who it is who's obviously contacted you. So like you said, if you've only applied to one thing, really, we should have been the only people that have contacted.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's only one thing, one group of people. So I'm not too sure why I'm getting in. Well,
I'm not 100%. I was going to say maybe, because to be completely honest, we are like, you know, like, we are solicitors, but also like a call centre. It might be the case that the people that we get our, you know, like, information from to contact, whether they're just selling it to multiple people at the same time. You know, it's kind of, might be a case of just whoever rings you first, who does it, you know what I mean? I'm going to let my manager know that as well, to be fair, because, like you say, as a business, we're probably spending a lot of money, like, getting this information for people to contact and stuff like that. So if other people are contacting it as well, it's not ideal, is it?
No, it's not at all. No.
Like say, if you've not signed any paperwork with them or anything like that yet, we can look at getting the claim process for you. I'm down in Manchester as well, so there's no way I'm going to be getting a train up to your house to come and see you or anything like that.
Okay.
Perfect, no worries. Could you just confirm your door number and postcode as well?
The door number is 31, the postcode is Papa Hotel 10 Alpha Alpha.
Perfect. And that's birth away, is it?
That's right, yeah.
Brilliant. So what age was you when you was placed into care, roughly?
10. I was in, 10-year-old. To give you a rough kind of idea, when I was 10-year-old, like that, my mum always had some sort of, like, she took a lot of nervous breakdowns. She had some mental issues. And when we were 10, it was me and my two sisters, we got placed in care because she just couldn't cope.
So we were in. Can you confirm your mother's and father's names, just if you've got them to hand at the moment, sorry?
Well, I've never known my father, but my mother's name is. My mother's name is Anne Mill.
Anne Mill, perfect. And when you was 10, obviously, and that happened, sorry to hear that as well, but where was it that they placed you at the time?
Right, so hold on a second. Did you know my mum's name?
No, sorry, you just confirmed it, then I just asked you.
Yeah, but, I mean, to confirm it, which meant that you already knew it, so I had to confirm it.
No, sorry, I didn't already have your mum's name then. I was just, like, mentioned, can you confirm it for the records?
Sorry, okay, like, sorry.
You could just put it, yeah, sorry, if you could just tell me what it was so I could put it down, sorry, I wouldn't have knew that. The reason why we need it is when we contact, like, you know, the local authorities and councils and things like that, probably a couple of Andrew Mills around, so if we have, like, your parents' names, your siblings' names and things, it'll help us locate your files when we're search.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the only reason I asked that is I thought, well, if you already know my mum's name, then it must be that, you know, the company that I was talking to yesterday, it's in connection with you guys. So that's the only reason.
Yeah, I'll be completely honest, Andrew. I'm as confused as you are about you having that call last night, to be completely honest.
Oh, right. Okay, so 10-year-old, we got put into care. We were in one children's home. We were there for a year. And then my mum kind of got better and went back home for a year, and then she had a relapse, and we ended up in a different home for maybe 2-3 years.
Do you know the name of the one where you was at first, the first care home?
The first care home was a home called Rannoch Moor.
Rannoch Moor?
Moor, that's M-H-O-R.
How's Rannoch spelled, do you know?
R-A-N-N-O-C-H.
O-C-H. And was that in Glasgow, was it, or...?
No, that was in Strathmappin Road in Dundee.
In Dundee. No worries. And you was there for about a year, weren't you? So it was like 1979 till 1980, roughly.
Well, actually, 1980 to 81.
Yeah.
So we were there, and then, like I say, we went home for a year, and then we ended up back in another home, which was in Dundee, which was it's called Ann Street Children's Home.
Yeah. Ann Street Children's Home.
Yeah.
And that's in Dundee as well.
That's
you spent around 3 years there, you said, yeah?
Yeah, roughly, yeah.
Yeah.
Three years.
Fine. And then was there anywhere else, or was after that, was it okay, or...?
Well, after that, I eventually went back home, reluctantly, actually, because, you know, being at home, it was... very unstable as well, but you know, I felt obliged to my mum. She was trying, so I went back home. But by that time, I was sort of, you know, coming up for sort of 15, 16. So, and then obviously, as soon as 16 came, I just left home and done my own thing.
Yeah, is that old enough to go do what you wanted then?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. No, of course, that's understandable. So, and just to confirm, obviously, can we just confirm your siblings' names as well? Did you say it's two sisters, did you say?
Yeah, well, my eldest sister is Christina Ann Jones.
Yeah.
And my young sister, she's Sarah Jane Jones.
Perfect. And just so you're aware, obviously, at no point are we going to get in touch with them. It's just so, you know, the names may be on the files when we're searching for them. Yeah, I was going to say, if you are still in contact with your sisters, don't know what people's situations are like, and they would like to make a claim, feel free to let them know, and we can obviously do it on their behalf as well, but we're not going to, you know, contact them off our own accord or anything like that.
Okay.
Perfect, no worries. So, yeah, if you can just describe a little bit, kind of, not just a brief detail of what you experienced at Rannoch Moor care home, then.
Well, you know, in general, it was actually okay. But there was a few things, I mean, it was quite regimented. I mean, for example, you had to line up against a wall to go and take turns brushing your teeth and stuff, that kind of regimental aspect. But one of the, I mean, apart from the old dodge slap in the head and stuff, you know, if you had, like, two kids arguing, they actually had a boxing... you know, a boxing ring up in the attic.
Right.
And, you know, if I was arguing with an art guy, they'd be like, right, you two upstairs, get the gloves on. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, at the time you're like, okay, but, you know, as you're an adult and you're thinking to yourself, you're like, should you really be fucking pushing two kids up into a boxing ring and knock the shit out of each other? You know, that's no... That wouldn't be acceptable today, put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I bet as well, back then when you were a kid, you know, obviously going out, you just think, yeah, well, that's fine, you know, if we need to settle it. But if you're the adult making two children do that, then that's a little bit, like, extortionate, really, isn't it? Making two kids fight against each other and stuff like that. Just for
exactly. It's
your own entertainment, really.
Yeah. And, you know, you'd get all the staff around the boxing ring just watching you two poor kids knock the shit out of each other. It's just,
yeah.
It's just wrong, man. I didn't. Now, this guy was asking me loads of things yesterday. You know, did you experience any sexual abuse? Blah, 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 blah. I never experienced any of that. But, you know, you did get, like, the odd slap. But I think that was just to keep you in line. Back in the days, it was okay to hit kids. Even your parents would do it. But there again, if you're talking about care staff, you know, they should have had a wee bit more reserve in them.
Yeah, exactly. And even though they just say, you know, well, it was normal back then, it doesn't mean that they had the right to do it. You know, they shouldn't have been hitting kids. And again, like, I think there's, like, you know, a lot of times as well, people say, well, they was allowed to restrain us. But when they was restraining you, they was probably just trying to hit you and stuff as well whilst they was doing it. And doing it under the guise of the restraining this child, but realistically, like, sticking the knees in your back and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, I've had that. You know, I've had restraints, you know, like arm behind the back, nearly breaking your fucking shoulder. You know, that kind of stuff. But, yeah, that... So, and also the fact that I think Rannoch had its own school, which was quite kind of weird because I was in the same class as my two sisters and we were all different ages. It was kind of odd. But then they moved my elder sister, who was a wee bit of a rebel, they moved her down to Port Glasgow. And I don't think they should have separated us as a family because, you know, in them formative years, that's where you sort of, you know, you bond with your siblings. And, you know, they just shouldn't have moved us apart type thing, yeah. Then that's kind of, I think that kind of covers the Rannoch Moor kind of thing. Then we were fed well. I'm trying to gauge off of what this guy was saying, asking yesterday. You know, we had private showers and, you know, there was nothing sort of indecent about it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, of course, don't worry. Like, I'm not going to ask you all those questions. Right? It seems like what he was probably doing is trying to push for reasons to find, you know, more abuse for your case and things like that. From what you've just told me there, that, you know, even though, like you say, it seems like it was normal, that is still lots of different, like, types of abuse, making two kids pit up against each other and fight in a boxing ring when they, you know, when they're having a bit of an argument is, you know, definitely abuse anyway. So I'm not going to start asking for things that didn't happen or anything like that either. Andy.
Oh, this guy was going to hell, man. This guy was like, you know, were you locked in closets and just going to, you know, thinking everything.
No, don't worry. Like, I know a lot of people, obviously, they still, like, kind of got, like, the sales hats on, if that makes sense. So he's probably trying to find as much as he can to kind of benefit your case. But like I said, there's more than enough there anyway from Rannoch Moor. If you could just explain a little bit about kind of your time at Ann Street as well.
Well, Ann Street was kind of similar. You know, you did get, you know, like, even stupid things like when we were in Ann Street, every Easter we would go to a caravan site in Arbroath, which was lovely. And just like small instances like, you know, the caravan pub, caravan site pub, the kids were allowed in as well, but as soon as the staff got drunk, like, you know, I've been launched off a chair by like a member of staff, like grabbing my hair and just throwing me on the deck and shit, just because I like made an odd comment. He was obviously pissed, so he's fucking, you know, grab your hair and just throw you about the place. And but there was one instance, which really comes to mind was there was a member of staff, a lady, and she says, Andy, do you want to come for a drive? I goes, no problem. I didn't really know where we were going, but like her and her husband, well, her husband, he was a pilot on an RAF base in Lucas. And so she took me to the, you know, the Air Force base, and we went to their accommodation. And it was weird because she said to her husband, she says, look, he's got the same colour eyes as you. Pointing to me, yeah. Right? As if, I think it was kind of weird, mate. It was kind of sort of like, you know, we can't have
flirting with you a bit, like.
We can't have kids, but this young kid looks the closest to you, and we could just say it's yours, like that. Right? And it's sort of, again, it was just kind of weird. And right. And on the way to like the RAF base, she kept saying, I don't think your mum's capable of looking after you. Maybe somebody else should look after you. Now I'm thinking, well, come on, this is in hindsight. I'm thinking, well, that was all fucking wrong. That's a form of grooming. And on top of that is like, you know what I mean. And on top of that, it's like I'm thinking there's no way that the rest of the staff in that unit they were complicit. They probably knew what she was doing. There's no way she was able to like take me away to an RAF base for her husband to have a look at me, right? Without them knowing. But they were complicit, you know. And
yes, so almost like as if they wanted to like say take you away and have you as their own child, kind of. Or
that's it. Yeah, bingo. You know.
Yeah.
But like nothing was said. There was no official. This is that. It was just, you know, I'll take Andy along because he looks the closest. He's got the same eyes as my husband type thing, you know, and we'll see if he's up for it type thing. You know, just odd, weird.
That is quite strange, to be fair. And like you say, you don't know whether they found another child and now, you know, God knows if any is another one who they thought looked more like him and, you know, anything like that, or you don't really know from that point, do you? It's pretty strange. Like say, they picked you up and took you there.
Yeah. I mean, to be quite honest, mate, like, you know, you hear the horror stories nowadays, it's all coming out, you know, like some kids are so unfortunate and they end up getting groomed and it's really, you know, I was fortunate. But, you know, I think there was a, over there, it was a fucking thin line, you know, between things going bad and, you know, just sort of.
Yeah. No, of course. And is there anything else at all you can remember from your time at Ann Street? Anything at all that might, you know, you think might be worth mentioning?
Regimented as usual. Like I say, you would get the odd slap now and again. But nothing really apart from that incident. By the way, the lady in question, through the grapevine, because I've met loads of guys that I used to be in there with, and she did have sex with one of the young lads there, so he would have been underage, but that's by and by, that's nothing to do with me, but it just shows you the kind of people we're talking about.
No, it does, obviously, like you say, it doesn't have anything to do with you. You was there at the time, and that woman did, though. And then the fact that she picked you up and took you to an army barracks and stuff like that, that's a potential that could have happened to yourself at the time as well, you know? So even though you just say, oh, well, it didn't happen to me, you was very much put in a risky situation that you shouldn't have been put in, you know? So it does matter to yourself as well. So she's with one of the young kids. Yeah, no worries. So, yeah, so like I said, just so you're aware as well, just when we do obviously look at making a claim for you, it's not like we're just, you know, clutching at straws, hoping that you're going to get some money back or anything like that. Providing you have experienced some form of abuse, which, from what you've told me here, you definitely have experienced some form of abuse, then we will be looking at getting you some compensation back. Now, I can't tell you exactly how much you'll be due or anything like that, but the average refund at the moment is usually anywhere between £42,000 and £68,000. Again, that's not to say that you're to get that much, but that is the average that we're seeing people getting back at the moment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just one more thing as well. So, just to confirm, you don't suffer from any kind of, like, terminal illness or anything like that at the moment, do you, Andy?
No, I don't have a terminal illness. But that's exactly the same question the guy asked yesterday. He asked me if I was have any mental illness, which, unfortunately, I don't know. I've been suffering from alcohol dependence for a long time. I went to the doctors. I don't normally go to the doctors there because they're just pill pushers. But I went there about 7-8 years ago, and I went there predominantly saying, "Look, I've got an issue with drink." And he listened to me, et cetera, et cetera. And he says, "Do you know what, mate?" He says, I think you're depressed." And I think, looking back on my life, I think that my childhood experiences has got a lot to deal with that.
Yeah, can you agree? It probably does have a, like say, huge impact. I think we forget, don't we, like, when you get adults and you grow up, but quite a lot of things from your childhood do shape who you are, like, as an adult and stuff growing up, don't they?
Yeah, your subconscious always sort of plays a part, well, a big part in your day-to-day.
No, of course, completely understandable. So, like I said, in regards to details and stuff like that, Andy, I'm not going to go, there's not much more that I do need to ask you, to be completely honest. Like, so just from obviously my, like, little experience doing this job, then I do think there is obviously a case to be made here with yourself. Just one more thing that we do just need to add, touch wood, but if anything was to happen to you during, like, the 12 months or so that this, you know, claim is going ahead, would you just put down a beneficiary, somebody who would receive the money if anything was to happen to yourself? Who would you like to put down?
Well, that would be my son. However, unfortunately, I don't know his address at the moment. I mean, he stays in Perth. We are in contact now and again, but he's just a busy lad. So, you know, I'd have to get his details later on.
Don't worry. I mean, what I can do is I can just put your number down for now, if you like. What's your son's name?
Aaron. A-R-R-A-N.
Mill. Perfect. Yeah, so like I said, all that's left basically in order for us to make this claim then is, do you just need from yourself a proof of ID? Yeah. So like a driver's license, passport, even a bus pass, something like that. And also just a proof of address, just any letter that you've got that's dated within the last 3 months that we can see the date on.
Yeah.
Because what I'm going to do, Andy, is I'm just going to send you a quick message on WhatsApp. Just one moment.
Right.
You can literally just take pictures of those for me and send them over. And whilst you're doing that, I'm just going to get a form sent over for you as well. Once that's signed, we will just be able to begin the investigations right away for you.
Right, how do I sign that form?
With ourselves, it's really easy, to be fair. I'm just going to send a link to your phone. You just open that and the document loads up. You just sign one box and click sign and it'll sign all the documents for you.
All right, okay.
Yeah, it's all like electronic, but it's just straight to your phone as well, to be fair. It's really easy. So, yeah. You should have just received that message on WhatsApp from me now.
They refer
So, any chance you can just have a quick look and see if you've got that message? Yeah. It's just, there's only one tick on it at the moment, to be fair.
Yeah, hold on a sec, mate. It normally tells me if there's any WhatsApp stuff, but nothing's came through at the moment.
Is the number I'm speaking to you on now, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, here we go. Oh. No, hold on. No, sorry. WhatsApp.
I'm not too sure if maybe it's because we're on the phone, but what I was going to say, if you like, then, because I'm just going to get that form sent over as well, if it's easier, Andy. If I just pop the phone down, if you can just, you should get the message come through, then it might be your signal. I think a lot of people who we speak to up in Scotland don't have very good signal, to be honest. Oh, no, it has double tick now, so you should have received it now, to be fair.
So will it. All right, is that MMA legal?
That's the one, yeah. So
right, yeah,
if you can
that.
Do me a favour and just take a picture of a proof of ID, and the proof of address. And whilst you're sending them over, I'm just going to get this form sent over as well, okay?
Okay. Well, could you maybe hold on? I'm not actually in the house at the moment. Can I send it within the next maybe couple of hours?
Yeah, when will you be home?
Well, I'm at my sister's at the moment. She's in Dundee, I'm in Perth, so I'm just waiting to take her shopping. She's got cancer, so we're sort of taking it easy. I don't know, sometime this afternoon, but I'll definitely do that for you.
Yep.
I mean, you sound a lot more amicable than the guy who spoke to you yesterday. over the top, that guy.
Of course, not a problem. Well, what I was going to say then, just because like I said, obviously clearly we're having a lot of people ringing our customers and things like that at the moment. One thing that I would like to do as well, Andrew, if you're okay with it, is just set up a password on your account. That way, whenever somebody gives you a call, you can just say, what's my password? And if they can't give you that password, then obviously you know that you're not speaking to the right people.
Oh, that sounds fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, perfect. What would you like your password to be?
What does that have to be a certain amount of?
No, it can be anything you want, just so, like you say, I can just recite that to you when we do call.
Just, I'll tell you what, 1442.
Perfect. Now, obviously, normally, if anybody calls now, we'll just say we've got a password of 1442, and if not, you just say, what's my password, and obviously we can quote that to you.
Right.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's just a lot of confusion.
Yeah, no worries. Well, what I'll do then is, obviously, if you'll be a few hours, I'll just wait until you've sent over the ID and whatnot. As soon as I've got those back, I'll just give you a call straight back, and we can just finish the last part. It should only be another couple of minutes or so from there anyway. Literally, just send the form. Once that's signed, that'll be everything, and we'll begin it from there for you.
Okay, so you're just leaving a letter dated within the last 3 months with my address on it and some person like my driving license.
Yes, exactly, that's it, yeah.
Okay, that sounds cool.
Perfect, no worries. Well, other than that then, Andy, I'll speak to you in a few hours then, and you have a nice day, okay?
No worries, thanks for calling. Thank you.
Cheers, no worries, speak to you soon. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.